Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
WWE Raw teases the return of Uncle Howdy. John Cena planning one last WWE run. A top WWE star is taking some time off. And Mick Foley cancels plans for one more match. Hello and welcome to the Solo Tuesday News here at What Culture Wrestling. Myself, Andrew Pollard. I hope you're well. I hope you're good. Again, slight apologies for my raspy voice. We're getting there, people. We're getting there. Right, let's start off with Uncle Howdy and those teasers that happened on last night's Raw. There are actually two teasers. One that you will have seen on TV happened when Bronson Reed was cutting a backstage promo. Now, Bronson Reed won the Andre the Giant Battle Royal on SmackDown on Friday. He was in a four-way main event here where the winner would earn a title shot. Damian Priest and the World Heavyweight Championship, and cut the promo backstage to hype himself for the main event. Bronson Reed was not interrupted per se, but the screen started to flicker. There was a bit of static on the screen, and then the word hello popped up at the bottom right of the screen. Now, that was one tease. For those who are in attendance at the Wells Fargo Center, there was another tease just before Raw went on the air, that the lights dimmed, a strange song played, which has later been identified by sleuths on Twitter, on X, sorry, as Nightbird by Marty Amato. Now, the first verse of this reads, "The Nightbird calls and shadows creep into my mind, into my sleep. I do not know if I shall rise or open up these weary eyes." Then it goes on about demons and pulling me down and swamps and body's cold and all alone, and yeah, it's quite the cryptic verse there, I guess. So this is, again, seems to be a further tease of Uncle Howdy. If you've seen the excellent, I finally managed to track it down, Becoming Immortal, Bray Wyatt documentary, man, that's such a brilliant, beautiful, but obviously clearly very emotional and sad watch. But I'd highly recommend that. But one of the final shots of that was the silhouette, the shadow of Uncle Howdy behind one of Bray's lanterns, which many immediately deemed as like, right, does that mean that Uncle Howdy's coming back? Is that the tease? It very much at least left it open that Uncle Howdy could be back at some point, or Taylor Rotunda, Bo Dallas, that there could be something that comes out of all of this for Taylor Rotunda. This also follows on from Fightful Select reports last week that, yes, there are indeed plans for Uncle Howdy to return to WWE TV. So this on Raw just seems to be, right, the first proper seeds that are being sown on main WWE television. It's one thing to have that teasing in the documentary. It's one thing to do the thing that they did before Raw, but yes, the Bronson Reed backstage promo, That's your TV that your audience across the world is seeing. So it does look like Uncle Howdy is on his way back. What changes are made to the character, what tweaks are made, if there are any, I don't know. Because right now, if Taylor Rotunda, Bo Dallas, Uncle Howdy is looking to return, there's so many different ways you can go with him and in terms of what persona he takes on and tweaking those personas. Now, one person who also could be back next year, though, is John Cena. Yes, if you saw Raw last night, John Cena made a surprise appearance. It was teased that, you know, R-Truth and The Miz were facing off against the Judgment Day's Finn Balor, JD McDonagh, and Dominic Mysterio, where Truth had promised that he's got a partner that nobody can see. And, you know, the joke there is like, have you just got little Jimmy? And then the actual reveal is, no, it's John Cena, who came in towards the end of the match, did very minimal physical contact, which we were told ahead of time going into WrestleMania that Cena was only going to be able to do minimal physical contact because of basically filming commitments and whatnot. But Cena has talked about on the Pat McAfee show yesterday, which was from WWE, the world there, how he plans to have one final run with the company next year. As he put it, there's still rubber on the tire. Although he did admit that essentially, he can't do the things he used to do on such a frequent basis, which is obviously a case when you get to a certain age. And I mean, if you've seen the last few John Cena matches, they're okay. They're not exactly classics, but they're okay. But that's to be expected of somebody who've been out the ring for so long. There's ring rust there, as well as the age factor to bring into it. Now, Cena had previously talked about how he plans to retire when he hits 50. He is 47 now. He plans to retire when he hits 50. Now, this interview with Pat McAfee, he actually said that he thinks he'll be hanging up his boots before then. So those plans are 50, that's being brought forward. As in when that is, but yeah, we'll have to see. But his schedule, of course, like Dwayne Johnson's, is pretty darn hectic. But Cena has kind of said that once his current schedule settles down, he's hoping he can put Hollywood on the... on the back burner and return for one last run in WWE next year. In terms of that schedule, he was able to do WrestleMania because Honda moved a prior commitment he had with them. So he's got to go and do the commitment now with Honda. After that, he's off to do a keynote speaking appearance with Samsung in Las Vegas, where their theme is Time Is Now. After that, he's off to Europe to finish a movie he started filming before the SAG-AFTRA strikes. That's called Heads of State, with Priyanka Chopra and Idris Elba. From there, he's off to film Peacemaker Season 2. And as John Cena put, that'll take him up to about Christmas time. And here is a quote from him. I'm crossing my fingers and toes on my heart that maybe I can tell the Hollywood world to pump the brakes for a while and come back to my family for one last run. I don't know. I hope I'm trying. I hope we'll see what happens. So let us know in the comments. Would you be excited for one more John Cena run? How long would you want that run to be? Would you want him to do maybe a 6 month run? Would you want him in one of the world title mixes? Is he going to get number 17? Because obviously he's on 16 world championships, tied with Ric Flair by WWE logic. Would you want to see Cena get to 17? Should he be working lower down the card? Should he be going for titles he's maybe not won before, the IC title? All questions that you can answer in the comments. Be nice. It's a Tuesday. It's a very wet and grey Tuesday here in the ever-tropical Wrexham. I will add that. Now, someone who is due for some time off is Seth Rollins. Yes, you will have noticed if you've seen Raw that the visionary, the revolutionary, was completely absent from Raw. Well, apart from, you know, recap footage from WrestleMania. Now, Dave Meltzer at the Wrestling Observer notes that Seth Rollins is indeed taking some time off. The hope is that he'll be back in action in 4 weeks' time. So Seth is going to be gone for at least 4 weeks. Could be more, could be a little bit less, I guess, but it sounds like it's more like, right, 4 weeks is the minimum. It could be a little bit more than that if needed. You're going to remember, this is somebody who, at one point in time, his WrestleMania status was very, very uncertain, was very much up in the air. This being because in January, Seth suffered a knee injury against Jinder Mahal, the match on Raw. And that threw up doubts about, is Seth going to be able to make Mania? The initial thought was like, no, he's not. He did. He made it to Mania. He got cleared a few weeks before WrestleMania. Not just that, he then went and wrestled twice at WrestleMania. There was the 45-minute mammoth main event of Night 1 where Seth and Cody Rhodes teamed up and lost against The Rock and Roman Reigns. After that, Night 2 opened up by Seth losing his World Heavyweight Championship to Drew McIntyre, with the story there being that Seth's knee was knackered. Seth was injured. But to me, what was most interesting was, because obviously Seth would come back out for the Night 2 main event where, I mean, it's easy to say that, yeah, he's made to look like a bit of a clown because he was the only person that got no offense in, came into the ring, was immediately taken out by a Superman punch from Roman Reigns. And then after that, at the very end of the match, was hit on the back by a steel chair by Roman Reigns, which I thought that was great because it's like almost like this PTSD that Roman Reigns has, the character of that breakup of the Shield and Seth Rollins, what he did to Roman on that day, and what he did to Dean Ambrose on that day. And it's like, that's regardless of the match against Cody Rhodes, regardless of, you know, the head of the table, the tribal chief, the bloodline, keeping that undisputed WWE Universal Championship. As soon as he sees that Shield outfit, as soon as and Seth obviously dyed his hair as well. It's like, it just like this trigger goes off in Roman's head and like everything else becomes secondary. He could have hit Cody Rhodes with the chair and wrapped up a successful retention of that title. But instead it was like, nah, I can't let this go. I'm going to have to go and hit Seth first, which ultimately would cost him the match. So people will say Seth was made to look like a clown, but also it's that thing of like Seth said he'd be Cody's Shield. He was there to take one for the team, essentially. He knew that he could distract Roman, which would then open up an opportunity for Cody to land. What would it be, the three crossroads? But what was concerning for me was, after all of this, when everybody's celebrating in the ring with Cody Rhodes, you've got CM Punk, you've got John Cena, you've got LA Knight, yeah, you've got Kevin Owens, you've got Sami Zayn, you've got Mama Rhodes, Brandy Rhodes, Negative One, the Rhodes family, everybody's there, even Bruce Pritchard, even Triple H comes down. One person who's kind of almost out of shot the whole time is Seth Rollins on the outside of the ring. And then there's a moment where Kevin Owens is kind of propping him up, and it's like, is that knee bothering him still? To me, yeah. And if he's rushed himself back for WrestleMania, when realistically he should have stayed out for a little bit longer, he's basically put himself through the pain to get cleared, to get back in time for Mania, then yeah, you give the dude a few weeks off. Like, yeah, you go and heal up, do what you need to do. So yes, Seth Rollins is going to be gone for at least 4 weeks.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Now, one person who had been weighing up a return, in case you had missed it, is Mick Foley, the hardcore legend. Yes, what a lovely dude. I've had the absolute pleasure of interacting with Mick a few times over the years. Just, the nicest guy. But Mick had planned, which caught a lot of people off guard, he planned to do one more match to mark his 60th birthday. Now, not just was Mick Foley going to do one more match, in typical Mick Foley style, this match was going to be a death match. Yes, also Mick had said, because he's 50, he'll be 59 this year. His actual 60th birthday is the 7th of June next year. So he's 58 at the moment. He'll turn 59 this June, and he'll be 60 next year. But as part of, like, it was basically Mick's way of celebrating his birthday. It's like, right, I'm gonna train for a comeback. I want one more match. I want it to be a death match. And also he's been open to saying, like, part of the motivation as well was knowing that he's got one more match to come back to will motivate him to hit the gym a bit more, get into better conditioning, and to lose some weight. Now, Foley has started that training, loose training, to get back in the ring, but he has already decided that, yeah, this planned match is not going to happen. He took to his YouTube channel to explain that he's actually suffered a concussion. And the last couple of weeks, or last month, he had to miss a few personal appearances due to dizzy spells. After speaking with medical personnel, using his own experiences throughout his career, and speaking to his family, he's pretty certain that, yeah, it's a concussion. Now, Mick mentioned that he'd only actually got back into the ring a few times. One particular time he did have a bit of a dizzy spell after it. But the scary thing is here, he doesn't actually know when he suffered the concussion. So, as Mick put it himself, like, right, if I've suffered the concussion without even realizing it, just from training, how can I possibly put myself in a match situation? Especially as he kind of teased a little bit with the things he had planned for this match. Because, you know, if Mick Foley's going to come back for one more match, and you know if Mick Foley's coming back and it's a death match, then whether he should or he shouldn't, I don't think he should. You knew that he was going to have some pretty crazy, insane stuff planned. But that is not going to be happening now. I mean, John Moxley, Matt Cardona, they were two people talked about as possible opponents for Mick in this match. But yes, the Micker has had to tap out on his plans for one more match, which some might say would be for the best. I mean, for me, it's kind of like, well, it comes down to, if Mick Foley wants to do one more match, who am I to be chastising him for that? It's Mick Foley's career, it's Mick Foley's body. But then the other side of that is, me as a fan, I don't feel like I need to see the Mick Foley match. I'd rather not run that risk of him doing harm to himself. Like I said, he's approaching 60 years of age next year. So, yeah, I can see the merits of him wanting to do this, to trade, to get himself in better condition physically as a kind of reward, that carrot at the end of the rope. Is that the right analogy? But yeah, but this is not going to be happening. As it stands, that means that Mick Foley's last singles match was against Ric Flair back in TNA in 2010, that being a last man standing match. Mick has technically had two more matches since then. One was in 2011, which was a tag match where he teamed up with Terry Funk against Roddy Piper and Cowboy Bob Orton. That was for a Legend show. It was only a 5-minute match. And then, of course, there was a brief appearance in the 2012 Royal Rumble, but that does appear to be it now for the in-ring career of Mick Foley. One of like I said, the nicest of dudes, no pun intended. And that dude loved theme tune. Chef's kiss, I believe the kids call it. Right, a couple of questions to get through here to wrap up. We've got Andy McManus got in touch. Could Cody go heel in this title run and face Cena if his schedule allows, with the story being John couldn't help himself but AA Roman at Mania? That's quite the interesting question, because ahead of WrestleMania, when there was kind of those rumblings of basically chaos is going to happen in the main event of night two, that we might get Austin, we might get Cena, we might get whoever. The one thing I'd said was, I don't want anybody touching Roman Reigns apart from Cody Rhodes. I just didn't want anything to take away from it. So obviously Cena did, as you mentioned there, Andy, he did hit the AA, the attitude adjustment on Roman Reigns, where I guess the logic of this is, right, okay, Cody Rhodes has been attacked by, you know, Solo Sikoa. He's been hit by the Samoan Spike, and he's been hit by the Samoan Spike and the Spear combination. So Cena's kind of leveling the playing field by like, right, well, Roman, I'm going to hit you or something. Yeah, but for me, I would have preferred nobody to but I mean, what can I say? I talked about it yesterday on the news. That main event was just a bunch of fun. I'm not going to complain about any of it. There was so much, at times, there was such like illogical parts of it, but it's just like one of those daft, ridiculous, over the top in the best possible way matches where it's like, nah, man, I'm not going to look at this as like some, you know, chin stroking wrestling fan of like, but that doesn't quite make sense there. And this and this and this. And would that be an extra star if they did that? And would this? Nah, I had fun. I had a lot of fun. So I'm not going to criticize that match. But as for could Cody go heel? Well, the answer there is yes, he could go heel. I don't think you'd be wise to turn Cody heel right now. I don't think you've got to the point where he is now the poster child of WWE. He is the top babyface. He's been the top babyface basically since he came back to the company. Someone like Seth Rollins might dispute that. LA Knight for a period might dispute that. But I just think that, yeah, you've got Cody in this position now where he is the guy. They've done so much to make it clear very publicly that he is the face of this new era. Whatever this new era is going to be called, he is the face of it. He's on the WWE 2K24 video game. He does all the media that they need doing. He does all the TV appearances. He does all the charity work. He does all the meet and greets. He's at every house show, busting his backside. This is that continuation of, you know, John Cena, basically. This is your next John Cena. Roman Reigns couldn't be that in terms of the babyface. But he's been absolutely magnificent as a heel, as a tribal chief, and I'm sure he will be back as an amazing baby face at some point, maybe, you know, when we look at next year's WrestleMania. But I think it'd be absolutely, for me, I think it'd be daft to turn Cody Rhodes heel right now, or at any point during however long this title reign lasts. And you could do the Cena, and if you wanted to do Cena and Cody, you could do that without anybody needing to turn heel. There doesn't always have to be, I'm all very much for, like, I like clear dynamics of babyface and heel, but there doesn't always need to be a babyface and a heel in a rivalry. You can just, especially when it involves somebody like John Cena, who's 47 years of age, very much winding down his career. We don't know how many matches he's got left. He doesn't need to turn heel, and you don't need to turn Cody heel just for, you know, that brief rivalry or that one-off match against John Cena, because then you've turned him heel and there's now you're stuck with a heel Cody Rhodes just for that one feud. But yes, so I don't think you, I mean, you can, like I said, but I don't think you do that myself. Hector Garcia the third's got in touch. Hey Hector, assuming Cody's moved to SmackDown, if a big if here, get those words out, WWE can keep Cody and Punk apart, Punk healthy and out of trouble, and keep them both hot on their brands for a year. Could WWE build to a WrestleMania 41 match between them that rivals the fan energy of Hogan versus Rock? I mean, we are going to get at some point CM Punk versus Cody Rhodes. And we've seen in their brief interactions opposing each other, whether in the lead up to the Royal Rumble or in the Royal Rumble itself, that fans are clearly very excited about that prospect. There's a great energy there between them. There's a great chemistry there between them. I think that, yeah, of course, Cody Rhodes looked like he will be off to SmackDown unless they do some weird switcheroo where Priest goes to SmackDown and Cody stays on Raw, but which I think it's a case of, especially with SmackDown moving networks, I think that, yeah, Cody is going to SmackDown. That belt is the SmackDown belt. So if you keep him and Punk apart, I mean, Punk, I'd imagine, I'm no medical expert, but I'm going to say maybe he's back for SummerSlam, so there's still a bit of time to go. And if you're looking for WrestleMania next year, of course, you could have Punk win the Royal Rumble and go after Cody on SmackDown and set something up for WrestleMania. But in terms of when that match happens, it'll be great. The fan reaction will be great. But in terms of matching or rivaling here, as you say, Hector, the energy of Hogan versus Rock, I don't know, because that's such a... I don't think you can get that, because that's such a unique dynamic for that time, where you'd had this generation of people who grew up on Hulk Hogan. I mean, you've got a generation of people now who will have grew up with CM Punk and maybe, you know, dashing Cody Rhodes or legacy Cody Rhodes. But you have Hulk Hogan as the poster boy that people grew up with, who was positioned as a villain. At that point in time in WWE, he was, I mean, literally, was it the SmackDown before that, or was it the Raw before that? But leading up to that WrestleMania, to WrestleMania 18, literally, Hogan tried to murder The Rock. He tried to run him over. There was like, Rock was in an ambulance, Hogan was in this big truck thing. He tried to kill The Rock. That is as bad guy can be. Yet, you get to WrestleMania, and it's that crowd who has such memories from WrestleMania 3 of Hulk Hogan. And they just were not going to, they weren't going to boo that man. They weren't going to boo that man. There was no boo that man. There was no booing that man. They booed The Rock just because he was against that man. Now, The Rock was the babyface. So that energy was just so unique for the time. And those performers were able just to, I mean, I'm not Hulk Hogan's biggest fan at all, but those two were able to just switch things without even really communicating anything to each other. Just like realize, like, okay, read the room. They want to cheer you. They want to boo me. I'm going to be a massive piece of trash now then. And The Rock just started working heel. So I don't think it'll be massive fan energy for Cody versus Punk. And if there's at WrestleMania 41, it'll be even bigger. I don't think, because that was just such a unique vibe to Hogan versus Rock back then. The timing of it all, the fact that Hogan had just come back to the company, his home, as they always say, the fact that people were desperate to cheer him when he came back, despite it was just, there was just a dichotomy of things that it all came together. Anyway, right, moving on to the next question. Way Sharman's got in touch. Morning, people. Morning, Way. With the draft coming at a better point in the year, could we see this as the best draft in a long time and a way to split factions up without them having to turn on one another? I can see Dirty Dom being moved away from Judgment Day with Mammy. Yeah, Judgment Day is an interesting one. I think that the draft is... this is the perfect time to do a draft. When you're doing like October or whatever, or just ahead of Survivor Series, where it's, especially when you're doing all like the brand supremacy BS at Survivor Series, it's Raw versus SmackDown, and it's supposed to be this big heated rivalry, and this wrestler A on Raw hates SmackDown with a passion. I hate you, SmackDown. You suck. Even though I was on there like 2 weeks ago, and I've only been recently moved to Raw, but all of a sudden now I hate SmackDown. Just, yeah, putting it by Survivor Series was daft. WrestleMania is always talked about as not just like the Super Bowl of professional wrestling, but like the end game, where a lot of stories end, a lot of new stories begin, especially more so now with this new era. So it just, to me, it makes perfect sense that if this is the start of your new year, your new season, it makes all the sense in the world for this to be when you assemble your rosters, when you make any changes you need to do, when you do your draft. So yeah, I think this has potential to be a great draft. I think the time it is just perfect. It is the 26th of April on SmackDown and the 29th of April on Raw. As for breaking up factions, that's always one thing you can do with the draft. Of course, I mean, one of the, not a faction per se, but one of the big shockers when they broke up the Dudley Boys, Bubba and Devon, or also when poor Jim Ross got moved over to SmackDown without anybody telling him until it happened live on Raw during the draft. Poor JR, man. What a legend. But yeah, in terms of factions, you can break them up, but then you have to ask the question of like, which factions do you want to see break up? Or, and you don't need to break up a faction. It just because one or two people might move, there's always the option to bring one or two people in. So I don't know. I mean, it's like, say, Damage Control, they've lost Bayley, but who knows, maybe they could add another person. I'd like to see them just stay how they are for now. But yeah, Judgment Day is an interesting one, because you've got Damian Priest now, who is, he is a de facto top star on Raw for the very simple point that he holds the top Raw men's prize. You got Rhea Ripley, who is also de facto the top star on Raw because she holds the top women's prize. So those two could break out on their own, especially Rhea Ripley gets such amazing cheers these days, positive reactions, pops, whatever you want to call it. Dominic is the one that always gets the heat, the ridiculous heat. You could break them up where, you know, there's the open goal there of Finn Balor gets jealous because Priest has got a world title, Priest has got a singles title, Priest has got gold, Finn Balor doesn't. And that's a story that writes itself there if you wanted to fully break up the faction. And JD could side with Finn because obviously they have history that goes back to what Finn Balor training JD McDonagh. Dominic could easily be moved over to SmackDown. Dominic could easily have his own faction at this point in time, I think. And I think that could be really fun. But yeah, we'll have to see on that one. That's what I mean. That's why it's so good right now, where there are so many possibilities on the table. There's so many stars that are hot. There are so many stars on the rise. There are so many stars who are at that level right now. I'm intrigued, man. That's the best thing about professional wrestling is when you go into a Raw or a SmackDown or a Dynamite or a Rampage or a TNA or whatever, you go into that show and you're excited and you're anticipating what might happen. You don't know for sure, but you're just there to like, I'm going to sit back, I'm going to enjoy this ride, I'm just going to see what happens for these next 2 or 3 hours. And that is where I'm at with all of this right now. It's a fun time, man. We don't always have to be all serious, shouty, ranty wrestling fans. We can just like, enjoy what you like. That's my weird preaching for the day. I'm going to shut up now and wrap things up because I know people will be ranting at me. There is another video floating around here. Click on that. It's fantastic. I've been Andrew Pollard here for the What Culture Wrestling Solo Tuesday News. I will be back tomorrow. Then I believe normal service is resumed on Thursday with the rest of the usual crew when they're back from Philadelphia. So go and check out what went down. We're off to WrestleMania. That video is there up on the channel now. And I'll catch you in the morning.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.